This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The fight for Mosul. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Monday, October 17. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Iraq today announced its army forces have begun the battle to reclaim the country's second largest city from ISIS, but there are humanitarian concerns.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump blames the media for a rigged election and blames Democrats for the firebombing of a local GOP office.
WikiLeaks has released another batch of emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. Hear what he said about the terror attack in San Bernardino.
And the new way doctors are dialing back the amount of medicines we take.
Well, I think there's a growing recognition in this country and really pretty much around the Western world that people are just taking too many drugs. And what's happening more and more is doctors and healthcare providers are looking at this and saying, what can we take off the list here? What can we deprescribe?
Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau on doctors who deprescribe. She's here in about 20 minutes. Overseas, Iraqi forces have launched a long-awaited effort to retake the country's second-largest city of Mosul, one of the last major cities still controlled by Islamic State terrorists. Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi made a nationally televised announcement earlier today about the offensive. For months, Iraqi forces have tried to capitalize on discontent with Islamic State's harsh rule to turn locals against the group. In some cases, Iraq has even supplied arms to residents. Still, Iraqi and American officials expect a tough fight. Retired General David Petraeus was on ABC's This Week.
Fighting in cities is a totally different endeavor than obviously fighting out in the open, and that it has all kinds of inherent difficulties. And indeed, there have been 2 years of preparation that's gone on here to make this as difficult as possible.
Aid agencies and the United Nations are bracing for an expected exodus that could test their capacity to provide humanitarian assistance. One UN official told the Wall Street Journal that the group didn't have sufficient funds to prepare for a potential exodus of a million people. There are 2 days until the third and final presidential debate. As the candidates prepped, their mouthpieces took to the Sunday talk shows. That said, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is ramping up his charge that the election is rigged against him by media bias. His surrogates are seizing on that message as well. Here's House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
I think that without the unending one-sided assault of the news media, Trump would be beating Hillary by 15 points.
That would be former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Both campaigns are blaming outside forces for their candidates' woes, too. Tim Kaine, running mate of Democrat Hillary Clinton, says the Russian government is trying to sway the election through hacks of campaign emails. Yet he was on ABC's This Week blaming Mr. Trump for the blame game.
He's blaming the media. He's blaming the GOP. He's saying that America can't run a fair election. He is swinging at every phantom of his own imagination because he knows he's losing.
Meanwhile, a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll has found Mrs. Clinton with an 11-point lead over Mr. Trump, 48-37%, a big jump from a 6-point edge she had in mid-September. Well, another big dump of emails by WikiLeaks from the personal account of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. In one exchange, her national finance director wrote that the campaign needed to make a policy decision on whether to allow those lobbying on behalf of foreign governments to raise money for the Clinton campaign. Campaign manager Robbie Mook responded that he was, quote, okay with it and preparing to deal with any attacks. Jennifer Palmieri, another official, wrote, take the money. Mrs. Clinton's running mate, Tim Kaine, was on ABC's This Week to question the authenticity of those emails.
I don't know whether it was inaccurate because the sender didn't know what he or she was talking about or it had been doctored.
In another chain, it shows that immediately after the news that the gunman responsible for the San Bernardino terrorist shooting that left 14 people dead and 22 injured had an Islamic name, Mr. Podesta suggested it would be better if a person with an American name had done the shooting, and that the reporting had been done by a man with a Muslim name. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including ones for first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Stamps.com is easy to use, all from your own computer and printer. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package, then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses already are using Stamps.com. Right now, you can sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Glad you could be with us. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, once known as America's mayor for his leadership following 9/11, is one of Donald Trump's most outspoken surrogates.
He said some very bad things 10 or 12 years ago. He's apologized for it. And it seems to me we should move on.
Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today, says 15 years ago, Americans watched as Mr. Giuliani consoled the bereaved and encouraged the frightened. But this year, he writes, they've seen a different Giuliani, sometimes out-trumping the GOP presidential nominee himself. Rick, what do you mean?
Well, Scott Fitzgerald Gordon, as you know, said that there's no second acts in American lives, but Rudy Giuliani must be on his ninth or tenth. he's known to most Americans as sort of America's mayor, cool and courageous during 9/11 and after the 9/11 attacks. And this year he's reappeared as a really aggressive Trump advocate to the point of being sort of an attack dog on some of the TV shows he's appeared on.
Time Man of the Year. All those years
ago. That was 2001.
Yeah.
And in those days, he really stood for a sort of a nonpartisan or a bipartisan sort of approach, a unifier and a healer. And this year, he's been more like the old U.S. attorney he was here in Manhattan, going after Wall Street and the mob, really prosecuting his case like a lawyer.
Mm. So if his role here, right, as you point out, is kind of attack dog. What does he feel he can gain? Do we have a read on that?
They go back. Trump and Giuliani go back, although it would seem that what Giuliani has to gain is that if there is a Trump administration, he'd certainly be able to fill a vacuum,
yeah,
a policy vacuum for Homeland Security, maybe the Justice Department. He's been a pretty good administrator over the years, and so he might be able to get a job in the Trump administration.
All right. So how has he gone about being Mr. Trump's staunchest defender, because it's gotten more difficult, obviously, over the past week or so?
This is where the lawyer comes in. If you're a lawyer, you take a case, and in fact, you relish the toughest cases. And as even a guy like Wayne Barrett, who's investigated Giuliani for years and is no admirer, he says he's good with a case, he's good at arguing the case, even if he's got limited material. And so that's what Giuliani's been able to do. He started at the convention, giving a really sort of operatic speech in Trump's favor, and now, whenever there's a new charge, Giuliani is ready, willing, and able to go on one of the talk shows and make the best possible case for Trump.
We're speaking with Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. His piece is called Once America's Mayor, Giuliani is Now Trump's Staunchest Defender. Does he carry this on, I guess, for the next coming weeks? You can't pull back now, right? I mean, even though the polls show that Mrs. Clinton seems to have a comfortable lead?
Rudy really seems to be in this for the long haul, to the bitter end, one way or the other. There seems to be very little space between him and Trump. He was at Trump Tower after the most recent allegations came out, helping to form strategy. So it seems that he's in it for good.
Mm. All right, so explain kind of the angle of the story where you talked about kind of the three apologios.
Well, because most presidential candidates have a whole raft of U.S. senators and governors around the country who are willing to make their case for them in service surrogates. Trump, of course, does not have this. People like Scott Walker in Wisconsin basically hate his guts, so they're not on board. So he really needs these three surrogates: Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, and Rudy Giuliani. And so he relies very heavily on all three of them. in a way that most presidential candidates don't have to. It also gives them some sway, obviously. Giuliani and Christie sat in, for instance, with Trump's first national security briefing as a presidential candidate. So it works both ways.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Iraqi troops supported by Kurdish soldiers and U.S.-led coalition air cover advanced on Islamic State fighters near Mosul today as government forces sought to recapture Iraq's second-largest city from the militant group. The Islamic State seized Mosul, its last major stronghold in Iraq, more than 2 years ago. The start of the military operation represents the final phase of an assault that has been going on for several months. Police in North Carolina are investigating the apparent firebombing of a county Republican Party office near the state capitol. The North Carolina Republican Party says its headquarters in Orange County, about 40 miles northwest of Raleigh, suffered major damage when it was attacked Saturday night. No one was injured in the attack. Former world champion sprinter Tyson Gay's 15-year-old daughter has been killed in a shooting in Kentucky. Police in Lexington say Trinity Gay was hit in the neck during an exchange of gunfire between two vehicles in a restaurant parking lot. She was taken to a hospital where she later died. She was not inside either of the vehicles. FBI Director James Comey says dramatic videos of deadly law enforcement encounters and the absence of reliable data about how often police use force contribute to a regrettable narrative that biased police are killing black men at epidemic rates. Speaking in San Diego yesterday before the International Association of Chiefs of Police, Comey concedes there are problems.
There are bad cops. There are departments with troubled cultures. Unfortunately, people are flawed. In any large group of people, there are going to be bad ones.
Comey says there's no comprehensive national data about how many citizens are killed or injured at the hands of police officers. And even without a bat suit, Ben Affleck is still a box office draw. His new thriller, The Accountant, was tops at the movies this weekend, bringing in $24.7 million. The film didn't fare well with critics, but audiences, who were 58% male and 68% over the age of 35, gave it an A.
Wow. Not the most appealing name for a movie.
I know. It doesn't sound like a thriller, right?
Right. The Accountant.
No.
Yeah. It's like something you have to watch in Accounting 101
or something
like that.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like agony. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Your doctor wants you to stop taking so many medications. Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau says more healthcare providers are adopting an approach known as de-prescribing to help adults in the U.S. and elsewhere reduce excessive use of prescription drugs and over-the-counter medications and supplements. Laura, explain.
Well, I think there's a growing recognition in this country and really pretty much around the Western world that people are just taking too many drugs. And when you add those supplements and over-the-counter things that they pop every day, people end up with something called polypharmacy, which literally means too many drugs. And what's happening more and more is doctors and healthcare providers are looking at this and saying, what can we take off the list here? What can we de-prescribe?
It made me think because my father had a stroke 11 months ago when they finally sent him home after some rehab. This is a guy who had been taking no medications at all other than a mega-3 oil, you know, pill or whatever. Sent him home with 19 medications.
Right, and that's overwhelming.
And then after about 8 days, they slashed it to 5, like when my mom complained. So, goodness, what was
happening?
There's
a lot of things that happen when you're in the hospital, when you have some major event like that, they will put you on a lot of medications. Sometimes they'll put you on a medication in the hospital that you don't need after a while, but you keep taking it. So then you're adding that to medications you may already have been on. Now, you have so many people with multiple chronic ailments. They may have heart disease and diabetes. They may have asthma. They may have all different kinds of things going on in their body that require some kind of drug at some point, but maybe over time they don't need quite so many. And then what happens, you get this cascading effect of side effects because many of these drugs have similar side effects. Blood pressure medications can, you know, really give you a lot of fatigue. And you add that to another drug that has fatigue. So I think what's happening is more doctors are trying to look at this and saying, at what point they do a calculation. It isn't just, okay, let's take this off because there's too many. It isn't a quantity issue, but it's how much does the drug do for you versus the risks and side effects that it gives you. And when the risks and side effects start to outweigh the benefits, they look at that as something that they can take off.
Okay. So as a patient, what are we supposed to do? Do we bring in that list of medicines every time we visit the doctor and say,
oh,
can we shave anything off of here?
That's so important, is to tell your doctor what you're on. You know, a lot of times patients will go in and they won't tell the doctor, well, I've been taking St. John's Wort, and I've been taking a lot of over-the-counter painkillers, like these anti-inflammatory, what they call the NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, you know, things we take like Advil. Maybe you got pain in the shoulder and you're taking those all the time. Well, your doctor needs to know that if he's prescribing something else that might have effects that are a problem with that, because it isn't just the side effects. It's what they call drug interactions. So one drug may interact with another, may make it less effective, may create toxic effects. Those are all the things that have to be really reviewed all the time. And you as a patient really owe it to yourself and to your doctor to disclose everything you're taking. You also may have multiple doctors. And if you're not in one of those health systems where it's all on one big electronic medical record, and unfortunately it still isn't for a lot of us, then your Dr. A may not know that Dr. B has prescribed this for you. And you may not have thought, oh, that's my gynecologist. I don't need to tell my, you know, PC, my primary care guy what I'm taking. Because those two don't have anything to do with each other. Sure. Well, they might. So that's something that's important to talk about.
Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau, who's based in New York. Her piece is called Informed Patient. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, October 17. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Iraq moves to retake Mosul. Another WikiLeaks email dump featuring Clinton's campaign manager. A Republican campaign office is firebombed. 21 Nigerian schoolgirls released by Boko Haram after 2 years in captivity. In sports, reports say Ben Roethlisberger will have knee surgery for a meniscus tear. Wall Street Journal says the Porsche 911 Turbo S may be the ultimate sports car. How about 0 to 60 in 2.8? Let's see. Nicki Minaj talks politics. Nobody cares. And the controversial fly fishing lure that has anglers up in arms. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you're looking to take your business to the top, turn to the state that's doing the same. Michigan. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both want to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on new roads, bridges, tunnels, and water projects, but the government apparently doesn't have the money. But what if America's biggest companies could bring home some of the $2 trillion in corporate cash that's sitting overseas? Here's the catch. No tax on that money, but a portion has to be invested in U.S. infrastructure projects. Here's Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman. Rick, set this up.
Both presidential candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, say they want to pass big infrastructure programs to help create jobs and just make the the U.S. economy more efficient. Build more roads, build more bridges, water projects, the whole infrastructure deal. But it costs money. Hillary Clinton says it would cost $300 billion. Trump says he would spend twice as much. Where's that money going to come from? Hillary Clinton would get it from a tax increase on the wealthy, which is, of course, very hard to get through Congress, probably impossible. So S&P is saying, hey, we have a better idea. U.S. corporations have around $2 trillion in cash that is parked overseas. Those are profits they've earned overseas that they don't want to bring back to the United States because they're going to have to pay the full tax rate on that here in the United States. And that tax rate is a lot higher than it is in just about every other developed country. So S&P is saying, let's let these U.S. companies bring back that money at a 0% tax rate as long as they earmark 15% of whatever profits they bring back for infrastructure investment here in the United States. So, in other words, give corporate America some, dangle a real juicy carrot out there, mm-hmm. which is a 0% tax rate, and say, all you got to do is help us with this infrastructure problem and get the money that way.
What are the realities of something like that happening? It sounds good.
You know, this is actually a pretty good idea. It's pretty good in the sense that it is plausible. There's sort of something in it for everybody, and it seems like a much lower cost way of getting something done than simply raising taxes and taking the money out of the pockets of wealthy taxpayers. I mean, any kind of tax hike getting through Congress just is going to run into a steel wall of opposition. You would get corporate America on board for this, probably. So they would help with lobbying. There could be some argument saying, you know, offering them a 0% tax rate is too low. It should be more like 10% or something like that. So you can argue what the level of the tax rate on these repatriated profits would be. But it actually seems like a very clever way of, getting people on board for this idea, which is crucial. And then, giving something in it for everybody.
Speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, his piece is called How to Get Corporate America to Rebuild the Country and Be Happy About It. Best case scenario, number of jobs that could be created.
Maybe a couple hundred thousand, 200,000, 300,000. That's according to S&P. We have a workforce of 160 million. So when you hear about 300,000 jobs, it doesn't sound like much. And, it wouldn't do anything to transform the U.S. economy overnight, but it would certainly move in the right direction. And these would be pretty pretty good-paying jobs, blue-collar jobs. I mean, construction jobs pay pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be putting people to work who might not be working right now. And you might also draw some people off the sidelines, people who have said, I just don't even see any reason to look for a job. I don't think there are any jobs out there, and none that I would want anyway. So you might draw some of those people back into the workforce. Ironically, if this really were effective, it could actually create labor shortages in parts of the economy because there are some parts of the country where there are not enough construction workers right now.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman in New York. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a batch of cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're trying to cut meat out of your diet but can't live without the sensory overload of a well-cooked burger, Silicon Valley is here to help.
Wait, I just want to clarify. Some people do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Not in my house. But
take meat out of their diet? This is a thing?
Yeah, apparently. It's been gaining steam over the last couple of decades, Gordon.
Yes,
you and I should look into this. Well, there's a company, Gordon, named Impossible Foods. It was founded by a former Stanford professor. They have unveiled the Impossible Burger, which is made from a plant-based recipe. But they say it's designed to taste, smell, look, and yes, even bleed like a beef patty.
Ooh.
They say the process involves the use of a blood-like liquid created from a soybean gene injected into yeast, which is then fermented. The liquid is what gives the burger its red color and causes it to bleed while cooking, just like a beef patty. The creators said the burger offers health benefits, including having more protein, less fat, and fewer calories than a lean beef patty, and also contains no cholesterol.
Ooh.
See,
but the big question here is here, what about the taste?
Yeah, like, I mean, they say, and yeah. I haven't had one, but they say it tastes similar to a real burger.
If you're injecting things that bleed into the burger, though,
Yeah, Is that appealing? Yeah.
I think not.
None of it sounds really appealing to me. Because, again, we just found out about this Fed. But yeah. I feel like you're going to a lot of trouble here to sort of save a few calories and a little bit of cholesterol and stuff. Just eat maybe fewer burgers. Just don't eat them. Don't eat, like, you know, three in a sitting.
I like it.
You know, like I might do, for instance, on a summer weekend.
Put a tomato on it.
Yes, exactly.
And drink a light beer.
Exactly.
All right, then. Problem solved. There
All
you go.
All is well.
Nutrition advice every day of the week.
And, Gordon, Odell Beckham Jr.'s relationship to the kicking net has certainly improved, along with his play for the past 3 weeks. You might remember that 3 weeks ago, the Giants receiver vented his frustration at the net on the sideline, only to have it fight back and hit him squarely in the face. Last week, Beckham gave the net a big hug and kiss after scoring his first touchdown of the season. And yesterday, after scoring a 75-yard touchdown, Beckham went a step further, lying down on the ground and draping himself with the net. Then later in the game, after scoring a 66-yard touchdown in the closing minutes, he ran up to the net, dropped to one knee, and proposed. Though amusing to many, Beckham's impromptu proposal could have cost the Giants the game, as he was flagged for a 15-yard penalty for an excessive celebration in a very tight game, though the Giants ultimately won.
Yeah, he scores that touchdown, takes his helmet off during the celebration in the end zone. Yeah,
yeah, I guess it was the taking flag. The helmet off, I guess, is why I got the flag, right, supposedly. Yeah.
So, I mean, as an ardent Giants fan, then.
Yes.
You have, what, is there a love-hate relationship with Beckham, or you just, you're all-in love?
No, definitely not all-in love, especially up until yesterday. That definitely was not. Well, I think most Giants fans are tired of the antics and the, you know, what. Yeah, it is the going up, I guess, and hugging the net last week after the first touchdown. That was nice. That was cute.
Funny.
And then yesterday, again, it was almost kind of a look of, oh, no, like, oh, no, he's now doing something else with the net. He put the net on top of himself, and then. And, of course, taking his helmet off and getting flagged for a penalty and going up and proposing. It's just all a little much. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing about Beckham. I was on the field before the game yesterday talking with a friend of mine, and Beckham is warming up in front of us.
Yeah.
Yet he's so likable because he tosses a ball to one of the kids who's on the field, like behind the ropes, and like runs a short pattern into the end zone. The kid throws him the ball. And, like, you know, he scores a mock touchdown.
Yeah.
And he, like, completely makes the kid's year. Like, he did that at least twice.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that likable side that
I think some people wrestle with. Yeah, and I've seen him in interviews. He seems like a likable guy. It seems like just when he's on the field, it seems like there's some force that takes over him. Yeah. Some competitive force that just drives him to sometimes a little bit of insanity.
Competitiveness and the emotions.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are 3 numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi today announced the start of military operations to liberate Mosul from ISIS militants, launching the country on its toughest battle since U.S. troops left nearly 5 years ago.
Operation are the brave Iraqi army with the police forces, and they and no one else will be entering Mosul to liberate it. They are from you and for you.
The push to retake Mosul will be the biggest military operation in Iraq since 2011, and if successful, the strongest blow yet to ISIS. Donald Trump's top supporters are trying to explain that what Trump said or tweeted isn't what he meant, especially on his claim that the election is rigged in Hillary Clinton's favor. Vice presidential candidate Mike Pence took to the Sunday talk shows.
Donald Trump said in the first debate that we'll respect the will of the American people in this election. The peaceful transfer of power is a hallmark of American history.
Pence says Trump's remarks reflect his frustration with the obvious bias in the national media, with reports alleging Trump sexually assaulted several women. Trump says all of the allegations are lies. The steady drip of stolen information on Hillary Clinton being released by WikiLeaks continues. This time, it's transcripts of the remarks Clinton delivered to audiences of Goldman Sachs employees in 2013. Clinton's speeches to Wall Street groups have been a source of considerable controversy throughout the campaign, especially during the Democratic primary when Bernie Sanders repeatedly called on the former Secretary of State to release the transcripts, and she refused. The Cubs have made a habit of delivering the timely late-inning hit this season, but last night it never arrived as they suffered a rare offensive shortcoming in a loss to the Dodgers. Chicago's dynamic hitters were stymied by ace pitcher Clayton Kershaw, who shut them down in a 1-0 loss that tied the best of seven NLCS series at 1-1. Rookie Dak Prescott is making an impressive case to remain the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, whether Tony Romo comes back or not. Prescott threw for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns in a 30-16 win over the Packers. Kevin Ray on Compass Media Networks.
Bootleg for Prescott, rolling out, wide open end zone, touchdown Cowboys. Prescott to Beasley.
Cowboys have now won 5 straight.
Could you just clarify, Tony who? Right.
He's been out of sight for a while.
It's unbelievable. What a player this guy's become.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In fly fishing, tradition is important. Purists lure fish with tiny artificial insects made out of feathers and fur, often by hand. Fly fishing handicaps anglers to effectively level the competition. In other words, it's too easy to use things like earthworms and nets. But something else that makes catching trout easy is causing renewed controversy. The mop fly. The Wall Street Journal says it looks exactly like what it is, a fuzzy strand cut from a cheap mop and tied to a hook. Forever, the aim of fly fishing purists has been to woo trout with imitations of the insects they eat, like mayflies floating downstream. The catch is, fish love the mop fly. Some say it's too good. The Journal says it originated with a visit about 10 years ago to a North Carolina dollar store that sold a chartreuse mop with thick microfiber nubs. A man there cut off some pieces, tied them to hooks, weighed down with metal beads. Trout devoured them. Local fishing guides say, once you're on the river, you can mop up. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.